welcome. You are here with Dr. Nilda Perez with Business Foresight, creating strategies towards your extraordinary future.
Hello and welcome back to the Dr. Nilda Show, Business Foresight. Today I have with me my co-host, Rachel Calderon, and a very, very special guest. I have Dr. Arkeria Wright. She is the CEO of You Source Me and the founder of Greater Giving Ministries, which is a nonprofit company. She is a doctor of education, K-12, and she's an intervention specialist. Wait to hear what she's done with her degree. It's amazing. She is also been gifted with being the COO of Cook Me Up a Notch, her daughter and her sons, Shayla, who was here, a couple of weeks ago, Shayla, Michelle, and Mari Lee. She is the COO of their company.
I am.
I don't know how you do it all. You amaze me. I do a lot. I have no idea how you are running three companies very successfully. You're very involved in your children's company, but the beauty is that they're also very involved in yours. How did this all start?
Oh my, well, my daughter actually started the business on her own, but before she became her own CEO of her business, I ran a nonprofit. I started this nonprofit through the school system. I was a second grade teacher at the time, and I taught in the community in which I grew up, which is south of Atlanta, in the over by the Georgia Dome, Mercedes Dome. I taught school over there. And majority of our students, 50% of our kids, were homeless. Majority of them were going without food over the weekend because their last meal would be Fridays for lunch. And I was noticing that a lot of them would have a hard time leaving school on Friday. So I started to do a little bit more investigation and found out majority of my kids wouldn't eat again until Monday morning for breakfast.
My and this is in the United States.
I mean, when you go into some of the schools, they're in poverty-stricken neighborhoods, and we have majority of the minorities in Atlanta who's at these public schools are not getting the resources. I remember my last year teaching for that school district, they had closed down about 7 schools. And they were busing all of those kids between 2 schools. And those kids were coming from other areas, but not only did they bus them in our area, but they had closed down the apartment, affordable housing communities in that same area. So a lot of those kids were homeless. They were staying with people just to be able to go to that school in that district. A lot of the kids that were in other districts that had to be bused, other schools that were closed, they had to be bussed over. Well, transportation was an issue. So they had to find means of a shelter or a friend or a family member to live with just to be able to get to school every day. So we had a high rate of homelessness. We had a high rate of just childhood hunger. And the issue that I had with teaching is that you cannot teach a child on an empty stomach. Teach a child on an empty stomach. You cannot teach a child when there's so many external factors going on that affects them concentrating. Because they're worried about lights. They're worried about food. They're worried about being able to not be bullied or talked about because they smell bad, because they don't have water at home. The great thing about what Dr. Blackshear started at our school in particular is that we were very compassionate. We were very resourceful when it came to the kids. So we provided clothes. We had a clothes closet.
Right.
We had teachers that would go out of their way to make sure their students were, you know, okay, had what they need. So within my classroom, I started a pantry in my art closet, and I would provide non-perishable things that we had, the tuna kits, and we would do peanut butter sandwiches, and we would do different things just to teach them if they didn't have lights or if it was no gas, then they could still eat certain things. We have granola bars and things of that nature.
Right.
On Fridays, we would do peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and I would wrap them so that, you know, they could have them. And then we had some volunteers from Buckhead Church. They would come and mentor our kids at the school. And my personal mentors, they saw what I was doing and they wanted to help more. So we began to send groceries home. We got partners like Publix and different places like that. And the kids would go home with bags of grocery for the weeks they were out for longer. So Thanksgiving break, Christmas break, we would have. I mean, we even did it where I sent home underwear with the kids. So they would get socks and t-shirts and skull caps and gloves for the winter, because those things were necessary.
The thing that amazes me is that this is in America. Oh, we're not talking about a third world. We're not talking about, you know, I mean, all right, so you think, you know, in the Dominican Republic and Haiti, of course this happens.
Absolutely.
But you don't realize that that's right here.
Right next door.
Right in this country, among us.
Yeah.
They're living, that's
absolutely
amazing.
It's right next door. And the great, the in doing this work, so we were doing that for 3 years within the school. I'm no longer in the classroom. That's when I started You Source Me. Because I started
So what are you doing now?
So right now,
you earned a doctorate?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, once I left the classroom, I was in school then. I was working on my doctorate. A year later, I received the doctorate. But in the process, Greater Giving became a registered nonprofit. So we began to go more out into the communities to see what the need was. How could we service these kids and also help the parents to continue to, you know, do the things they needed to do so the kids were getting what they needed.
Right.
And so with You Source Me, it was a way. You Source Me is my business that I started. It's a teacher and student service where I focus more on interventions for kids. When I was in the classroom, a lot of times, there's a lot of politics in the class. There's a lot of things that you can't address socially. For me, it was most difficult. My gift lies in understanding the needs of kids. I can sit with a kid and observe a kid and I understand, okay, this child's gifts lies here. So this is what I need to do in order to get this child to learn this material. Or to, you know, we need to build confidence. We need to build, we need to help this child understand that they're safe. We need to deal with other things that learning styles.
Right.
Yes. So addressing the learning styles. When you address the learning styles, you can pretty much teach a child where they are. I never liked the fact that they would, in the classroom, they didn't understand that it's a certain thing as teaching within that zone of proximal development. Kids were so frustrated. I couldn't handle not being able to say or intervene and say, this won't work for her.
Right.
I need to be able to do it another way. You need to give me permission to do it another way instead of saying, teach this standard, teach it this scripted way, this is how it needs to be done, and the child fails.
But it's just they couldn't grasp that learning method.
Right, they could not. I am, personally, I am a visual learner, and I'm also a hands-on learner. That's the reason why Bakeology works.
I'm a kinesthetic.
Right, so I have to first see, and I have to then do.
Right.
And then I can tell you I have it.
Right.
Before then, I don't have it.
Right.
A lot of our kids, they are the same. You have to experience the best teacher. You have to allow them to get in it. They have to be hands-on with it. They have to have experience with it. And that's why entrepreneurship goes hand-in-hand with You Source Me, the way that we develop Chef Shayla and Chef Amari and a couple of the other kids that we work with that have businesses now. They are able to use the gifts that they're passionate, the things they're passionate about, get hands-on with it, experience with it, learn, steam through it, and then they grasp the concepts in school. Shayla is taking honor classes.
Right.
You infuse the things that they're going to use every single day with the concepts that you teach in school, and it gives them that application they need to connect the two.
Yes!
Yeah.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
Yes. I'm an auditory learner and a hands-on learner, but
I appreciate you because of the fact that this is something that America needs to understand. We as parents and even the education system needs to understand that we shouldn't limit our children. Our children really have the ability to learn and not be fluent in this one and weak in this category. They if we teach them the right way, we have the capability of having 100% of our students in America doing excellent. There's no reason, not any one child. I don't care whether they are a special needs child,
absolutely,
or a child that's high functioning, right, normal, yes, without any any disabilities. Everyone has the capability of learning. Everyone has the capability of doing 100%. We just have to kind of tweak. And I think that the education system kind of refuses. I don't know if it's a refuse or if there was one person who decided and they have not had the experiences that we've all had,
Right.
But it's like they're not budging.
Right.
It's like this is one cookie cutter and everyone needs to go that direction.
Somewhat psychology that has to continue to be present in education. You can't just separate the two. You have to understand behaviors. You have to understand the mind. You have to understand what it is that triggers a certain motivation in a person, a child. And I think sometimes they miss that because they want everyone to be this one way. I want this perfect student that can come in, that can take this textbook, that can remember everything in it, right, that can ace the test, that can score high.
They're not giving them the tools to do it. They're all capable of doing it, but they don't give them the tools
to do
it. They
don't give them the tools.
And that's where I see...
Allow teachers to teach.
Right, allow to, whatever it is, whatever means.
Yeah.
Just give them what they need so that they will be able to teach.
Absolutely.
You're holding their hands, you're tying their hands by not allowing them to be able to pull from that child what they can, everything. Right. And so for me, as a foresight strategist, one of the things that I struggle with, and this is with adults, because they've had the same learning method all of their lives, they're not accustomed to creating. They're not accustomed to innovating. They're not accustomed to using right brain. Everything has to be a certain method, and if they don't fit into that, then they feel they feel they're dumb, they feel they're incapable, they stop trying, and that's it. They're not going to give you more.
We've been trying that way.
Because we have. And that comes, with all due respect, it comes from the school system that is teaching them only one way. And if they can't fit into that box, they're really castaways. Yeah. They're thrown away, and they're not seen as valuable. And so now, fast forward, I'm talking to entrepreneurs. I'm trying to get them to think creatively and innovative. And they're still stuck with, I can't do that. And that's because they've never been given the tools to be able to do that.
Yeah.
They've not been given the tools to be able to create and innovate and think outside of the box.
Yeah.
But they use the term a lot, think outside of the box. But nobody actually tells them what that is.
That's absolutely. It is so funny. I've used that term, and learning through the process with my kids how to step outside of that fear that everything doesn't have to be textbook, a textbook way of doing everything. Even with my kids, I've learned that going through school, right? I was always this straight A student, everything from making sure I got all A's to participating in all the honors clubs to all of that. And I feel like I just kept going. Okay, they said go to school, they said graduate, go to college. And I went all the way up to get my doctorate degree, right?
Right.
But I got there and it was like I hit a ceiling. But I knew it was more because my other side of my brain was saying, you are creative, you can do this, this is what God given you, all these visions, all these things that can be done artistically,
right?
To step out of the box.
Right.
But I kept saying, but what do I do with this doctorate? Like,
right.
It has to be a textbook way of getting beyond this ceiling.
Right.
But the only way is that I had to, what?
Create.
It was nobody to show me. It was nothing written. No. Like, when you get here, this is where you go. Yeah. Nothing.
No.
And not only that, it didn't feel good to say, let me go be a principal. Or I'm going to, what do other people do with doctorates in education?
Teach. And you're going to teach and you're going to create more people like you.
Right.
And we're all stuck in the box.
Right.
And after a while, that box gets pretty uncomfortable.
And it's not no security in the box anymore.
No.
You're not secure as a teacher anymore. I've seen so many of my peers drop off, like, wonderful, amazing teachers and just throw them away and do away with them. And most of them, they either go teach abroad or they started their own businesses.
Right. Because the thing is that, as an educator, you know, I'm an adjunct prof, and I teach business, and I also teach foresight. And it's amazing. I love it. The problem that I have with the students is that they'll ask me questions like, the syllabus didn't tell me what page to find this in.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. This is like master's level. This is graduate school. The syllabus did not tell me what page that information was in. And I was like, how about research? How about looking, finding for yourself? This is what you need to do when you're no longer in school. You're going to be given a task. You need to figure it out. But we're not programmed that way. And this is where the frustration comes in. I had a friend tell me, Dr. Wright, a few years ago, you know, I really love your confidence. And I had to stop and say, I was like, you know what? I'm not necessarily confident going in. I just do it scared. I do it anyway. And after I succeed or after I fail and I figure out what I did wrong, then I'm like, okay, I've got this. That's when the confidence comes in.
Yeah, and we need more of those transparent conversations, because even with teaching a lot of the kids to go towards, you know, business things, dreams that they have, we have to show them that even as adults, we're scared, or we have some fear that purges us or pushes us forward to say, you do it even in the fear. I mean, honestly, you may even be your best self when you're most nervous or you're most afraid.
Exactly.
Because you put everything you got in it because you're so afraid of screwing up.
Right.
And so a lot of times they don't know that confidence is kind of like a practice. You have to practice every single day to be more confident. And I wasn't taught that.
Right. And your mission needs to be bigger than you. It's more important to me that I get people to teach them, you know, foresight strategies, that I'm able to teach them how to be strategic, how to address their business, their careers, everything that they do with a strategy, but a well-informed strategy. That to me is bigger. Mm-hmm. Not getting that information out is more than my fear. Because then I have to kind of balance, am I more afraid of not doing it and not getting the information out, or am I more afraid that they don't get this information?
Right. Many of us don't learn that. Many of us don't learn that to put forth, I guess, our purpose or what we're doing it for, make that greater than, what did you say, make it greater than?
Make it greater than your fear.
Than the fear.
Right. Then your fear not to. So it's a balancing act. If you're afraid that they not have this information and they'll never get it, and you're afraid of giving them the information, there has to be more power in their getting that information. Okay. That's been what has been purposeful for me. Mm-hmm. So my purpose is larger than my fear.
Mm. Yeah. And oftentimes I have found that, you know, even from young, from home, we kind of start, you know, it's that word, like, no, you can't do this, you can't do that, is almost, it's good, because sometimes you want to protect your children to say, no, you can't, because sometimes it's our own fear that mm-hmm. holds us back. I remember one time I was like, I wanted to do something, and my mom was like, no, you can't do that. You're a girl. And it was, now I'm looking at it and I'm like, why couldn't I do that? I mean, just because I'm a girl, it, you know, why would you stereotype that? Oh, she's a great mother, don't get me mm-hmm. wrong. But I'm saying, you know, sometimes even our own fears right. of, oh my gosh, you know, my child is going to get hurt. Let them get hurt. Yeah. Let them get hurt. Let them, you know, wipe their knees and get up and do it again. Yeah. And we start doing that from young. And I think it just has to do with our own fears. Sometimes we are afraid
Absolutely.
To allow them to kind of get hurt.
Yeah.
You know, so Absolutely. When we don't do that, we don't realize, and I think that this is to, you know, to everyone, parents and non-parents, we need mm-hmm. to realize that all these little things, our words really carry a whole lot of weight, to the point that a lot of adults, a lot of us adults have struggles, and our struggles are, can I do that? You know, should I do that? What are the possibilities? You know, how about if they start looking at me funny? You know, how about if I'm, you know, cutting a video and they're making fun of me? Who cares what they say? Because you know what? The greatest people have done so much more through, you know, making, you know, funny videos, or who cares? But we're so like afraid of being talked about, or what are we going to think? So we enclose our own mind, and it starts, unfortunately, even younger than, you know, than school. And it's these little words, that I think carry a whole lot of weight.
Yeah.
And we need to, you know,
instill in our children
to, because once we give them, like, what can you do with that? Who knows what can happen? Let us begin to push our children to see what they can do,
right.
you know?
Right.
So I think that that's important.
Yeah.
So from this came Kidpreneur Dream Workshops.
Right.
Talk to me about that.
So the Kidpreneur Dream Workshops were started when Ashayla started doing her baking classes for Cook Me Up a Notch. I decided that it was just a whole lot of parents that wanted to know, how did Shayla get started? And so we developed this dream board. It was kind of like a vision board project, what we would do with the kids when they came to see us. So I felt like I have an opportunity to teach them something. They're here for the baking class. I'm gonna throw this in there. And so we would do this board, and it would basically address, you know, what's your name, and what do you believe your gift is? But then we will address what you think your purpose is, and then what do you want to be when you grow up? So we tried to think about three different ways of explaining what we thought the three things meant. So they would write out, okay, I want to own a gymnasium because I want to teach gymnastics. I asked her, okay, cool. I asked her, well, what do you think your gift is? She said, I'm gifted in gymnastics. I'm a gymnast. Okay, so what do you think your purpose is? And she was like, I don't know. But I want you to think about what the purpose is versus your gift. Because to me, a purpose is what you share with the world. The gift is what God has given you to share with the world.
True.
So explaining that to them gave them even more purpose to achieve that dream. Because just like you said before, once you understand that your purpose is greater than the actual self fear, your fear or whatever it is,
right.
you achieve greater. That works with kids magnificently because you give them a foundational principle to set, or standard, or some focus to say, this is the reason why I need to be what it is that I achieved, you know, to be.
Right.
So with that dream board, they will outline that, and then we will go over, like, what would be your target audience, and, you know, how would you promote yourself, and this, that, and the other, and then they would come up like a hashtag, like, hashtag billionaire, hashtag, what is the girl name? Simone. One of the Olympic gold medalists. Like, she put all these different hashtags.
Okay.
And so that Kidpreneur workshop came out of that. So what we're trying to do is this next spring, we want to have a huge Kidpreneur workshop where we come in and we put them in groups where they're running a business. We learned this from Junior Achievement. where it's a whole town, and what they have to do, they have to choose which corporation they would like to work for. Just say the town has a bakery, a bank, a package store, a hospital, different things that you need to operate a town.
Right.
Well, they have to put the skills they learn throughout our workshops to use to be able to run their businesses within this town, this full workshop that we want to do. And at the end, they have to present how this business, this business's mission supported the mission of the community or supported the wealth of the community.
Oh my
and so
goodness.
What we're trying to do, even with Bakeology, when they get in their groups, you know, they have different groups. So the five components, they have science and safety, they have Technospire to code, which means we're teaching them how baking steps are relating to the same steps in coding. When you take the steps in looping and doing all the things you would do to code a program, you Technospire to code. The next one is engineering. So
I
want to
take the classes.
Yeah, it's adults are allowed. Engineering and chemistry, arts. What am I saying? Engineering, chemistry and arts, and then the final one, math and measurement. So they get to rotate throughout this class, Bakeology, and they get to, you know, experiment with the flour and the chemistry and this, that, and the other. So just using not only a kid to show that it's possible for kids to be entrepreneurs, but not only doing that in the workshop, but allowing them to have a hands-on experience saying, look, this is all it is. It's the same thing you're learning in math, science, social studies, all of that. Your research, you know what you're doing in social studies. That's all they're providing you with, research. So that's the same thing you're doing in your business, finding out your research. Or engineering, who makes this stuff? How does it come about? What are you using to create
it?
So all of those things come into play with the Kidpreneur workshops. And Shayla, my daughter, and the company, all of us, she's going up for a pitch in November the 4th. It's from the Toffee International.
Okay.
And she's going up for a business investment. And we have our fingers crossed for it because I think it's an amazing opportunity. She's one of the top 10 contestants. It's amazing other kidpreneurs that are also in the top 10. And she has to pitch her Bakeology curriculum and the STEAM baking kits.
Okay.
And so all of that, I'm saying all of that to say that we want to show kids that the same concepts that you are using in school is going to help you to progress in life sooner than most of us adults.
Right.
You know that
exactly
what you're talking about. Yes. My personal business, You Source Me, could have benefited so much more and still can from a place where it teaches me strategies for success, because I'm literally learning these things from teaching kids.
Right.
Which, if you ever met a teacher, we can take some information and we can teach it.
Right.
You know, but to apply it to our own lives can sometimes be a little bit more difficult.
Exactly.
Because we weren't trained to operate like that.
We weren't.
And we're afraid to operate.
What happened to me when I first took this course, I was looking at it, and, you know, I loved it because they told me it was the most difficult course. And I was like, okay. I didn't say I got this.
Oh.
There's going to be a challenge.
Okay.
I'll take it.
Okay.
I'll take it. I needed to challenge myself. So when I'm taking the course, I'm looking at that there's a possibility to understand, not only understand, to see the future, to actually direct the future. Then my school, I went to a Christian school, I went to Regent University, and they showed you how, this is how Christ, God, from the Old Testament, told people the future. There was foresight, there was a strategy. Joseph had a strategy for Pharaoh. And so that's why when he had that dream, he was like, this is the future, this is what's gonna happen in the future, there's gonna be a famine, and this is the strategy to succeed. Imagine, We have that. We have that in our hands. Mm. We have the ability to have that strategy. Not only do we see the future, not only can we understand the future, we can actually direct it. Mm-hmm. That's what Joseph did for Pharaoh. He told him, this is what's going to happen. This is the strategy. Everyone's going to come to us because we're prepared. And they aren't. Why? Mm-hmm. Because they didn't know. They weren't looking. They had no idea. They just thought it was going to be a feast forever.
Yeah.
So having that, imagine the so
it's powerful.
It's powerful.
Because I see myself as being a visionary. But you, even if you can see, if God has showed you the end, that strategy, you have to find someone like you, a futurist, or someone to help yes. you align the strategy to get in there. Because that, for me, has been the most difficult to address when come, because let me just put it like this. When he showed me the nonprofit, he showed me how it would connect to all the other things. Because I never knew with the nonprofit, I would then start to service kids that were in arts programs. So that way I was able to connect the art community together, not only addressing the kids with the academic portion, mm-hmm. but we started to address their learning styles using the arts. So here we got Shayla coming in doing baking classes. We have an artist coming in doing portrait painting and on canvases. We have I Am Arts doing dance sessions, and they use learning music and drumming. Then they're doing theater and spoken word. All those things started to address the academic part and their confidence and their self-esteem and their value. Exactly. They started exactly. feeling like, oh, my painting is amazing. Like, I can be this. I can be an artist, or I can be a composer, or all of those things. And so I didn't know that he was going to take the nonprofit and say, these kids that seem to have nothing have everything on the inside.
Because, and that's what, but God, it's biblical.
Yeah.
We have, the Bible says, we have the power to create wealth. Mm-hmm. Keyword here being create. It's not you have the wealth. Mm-hmm. You have the power to create it. Wealth. We have what it takes inside of us. We are too focused on that fear. We're too focused on teaching them the purpose. Mm-hmm. I think is the most beautiful thing that you do for them, because you're teaching them. Once they understand their purpose, mm-hmm. I think the fear just becomes so secondary that eventually it doesn't even, it's non-existent.
Yeah,
it's non-existent, and that's really the direction that you want to take mm-hmm. them.
It's an affirmation.
Yes.
Anytime you affirm. I think we don't get. I didn't get enough of affirming when I were younger. I got a lot of. Yeah, you know, but it's not your. You know, don't speak, or you know, sit down, be quiet, or you think you're so smart, or whatever. It wow. wasn't affirming.
And in the Latino families, that don't be too smart because you won't get married.
Oh man,
be smarter than a boy.
That's what yeah. I'm saying. So yeah. those yeah. things are, yeah. especially with women and girls, you can't be too much of whatever.
Right.
And it's so, to me, I dumbed down a lot of things. Even as an adult, I wouldn't speak this way. I wouldn't say all the things that I did or all the things I was capable of doing, and I would act as though I really didn't know much about it, because I didn't want you to feel that I thought I knew more than you. So I would just not say a lot of things that I knew I was very capable of doing. And it's weird, because God has brought it back full circle. He's allowed those same things to shine through my kids. And like you all said today, oh yeah, we interviewed the kids. But she's pretty amazing too, and that's weird, because I've been doing probably what I'm doing for them now for a few years. That fear that you talk about was somewhere in there, mixed in with the confidence and
absolutely.
Feeling like I needed to dumb myself down in situations where I should have spoke up and I should have let my light shine mm-hmm. and I should have did more, and I helped and I didn't want to tell anybody, or I cared, or I assisted. You know, even as being a chair my last year, chair of the department my last year in the classroom, a lot of times I didn't get credit for a lot of things, and I wouldn't say that I did it. I would just say, well, the team, you know, did it. But a lot of times people didn't know that that leadership and that type of drive was in me.
Mm-hmm. A lot of that I know stems from fear of others. You know, that they don't, that when they feel they can't do what you're doing, but if they had the confidence and the tenacity to do what you were doing as well, I think we would be a force.
We would be such a force.
The school system alone would be such a force looked at everyone's abilities yes. between that and the kids. I tell you the truth. I know she's a professor. Sometimes we'll share stories and things, and she's like, oh my gosh, I'm learning from my own kids
from my students.
Students. Yeah. And the thing is, they're not kids. But you know, we're even afraid as adults to learn from someone younger than us, because again, it's that instilling. We you don't learn from children. They don't know, or you don't learn from someone younger than you. And
right.
you know what?
I disagree.
Sometimes they push you. I've learned things, and I'll ask my daughter. You know, okay, because now everything is Instagram, Facebook. So sometimes I'm like, hey, you know, what do you think about this? She's like, hashtag everything. Oh, okay, what's a hashtag? You know, and sometimes I'm like feeling like a little dumb by asking her, but she'll explain it to me, and I'll say, how can I use that in our business? How can I see? So I even love it. You're teaching them, even with today's technology, how to use, let's create a hashtag. And what you're really doing is they're creating their own words of affirmation through hashtags.
Yes.
I love
Amen.
That. I mean,
yes.
come on.
You're going to develop.
And then if you continue doing, you're also educating the parents.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
You know, to push. And then they see their kids and they're like, wow, I could do that.
Yes.
You know what? I have my own idea. That's, it's amazing. It's amazing how, you know, what you've taken from these kids that didn't have anything and you've pulled that diamond out of them.
Yes.
You know, they didn't have food and you saw the need. So you said, okay, no, let's see what what we can get out of you. And you've made these children into blossom, you know, roses. And oh my gosh, I just think I'm fascinated.
I went through a lot in my life that also motivates me to push and support them as much as I can. It's not only a business and professional goal for mine, but it's a very personal goal for me to support their dreams. I just want to encourage whomever is thinking about, you know, going into business and living your dream. One, like Ashayla always says, you're never too young and you're never too old.
That's right. You can
be who you want to be right now. It is important to seek out mentorship and people that you admire.
That's amazing. I love your story. I love your story, honestly, from beginning to end. I love your triumphs. I love what you've done that's been, you know, incredible with children, with your degree, with other people's children, your ministries. And I just see that God, this is just the beginning. Because you're still so young. Your children are still babies. And God is really, really has his hand over you. And your purpose and your dream is going to exceed. The Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, and mind cannot conceive the things that he has in store for you. And that's where I see you. I'm fascinated. I am so glad that we had this interview. This has been amazing. And I see, you know, God is, you know, what God is doing, how he's doing it in your life.
You are not going to make me cry.
Yeah. No, you won't cry.
I'm trying not to.
Yeah. But God is good. God is good.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. And he doesn't cease to amaze us. It's over and over and over again.
Like she was saying, you know, what God has turned for evil, and they are your biggest fans. Look at that right there. I wish you guys could see the other side of the camera. They're right there. And they are just thumbing their moms up, you know, and just like, yes, you know.
Yeah.
So I wish the audience could see it. They are beautiful kids.
Yeah.
Come here. These are her babies.
These are my big babies.
Come on.
Yeah. See, these are her trophies. for everything that she's gone through. These are her trophies. Aren't they amazing? Yes. Aren't they absolutely amazing?
Thank you.
So this is going to end this this episode. I want to thank you guys for sticking with us. I know this was a long one, but it was so worth it. So we'll see you next week with another interview. And until then, I want to thank you. And I want you guys to follow up with Cooking Up a Notch, Ashayla Michelle, with Amari Lee, and with Dr. Wright. This is an amazing family who's doing incredible things. And I think if you follow them, you're going to see, you know, I think a few years from now, they're going to soar. They're so going to outgrow this. So this may be global.
And if you want to donate to our initiative to service kids over the holidays, you can go to www.greatergivingministries.org.
All right, guys. I'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
I want to thank you for being with us on Business Foresight, always creating strategies towards an extraordinary future. Remember, I'm here with you with strategies every Saturday. I'll see you next week.